Thank you so much for that introduction. I am, as you can see on the slide, I'm now Dr. Blunt Vinti. I got married over the summer, so that's the newest thing. It's really interesting, the findings that I'm going to be presenting here were coming from interviews that were not intended to be talking about consent. And so they were intended to be talking about pleasure and satisfaction and things like that. And so that's part of what I think is really interesting from these findings. So sort of following along with what Dr. Jaskowski was talking about in terms of affirmative consent and the need really for sort of a culture of affirmative sexuality in order for that to really be possible. And that's, you know, sort of what I think that some of these findings really highlight. And the common conceptualizations of consensual sex include that sexual activity is generally wanted and agreed to. So most of the time when we agree to sex, it is sex that we want, and that, you know, and that is a good thing. But this isn't always the case, and some people actually do consent to sex that they don't necessarily want. And so this study is, the original study was a two-phase study which was exploring sexual satisfaction in young adult women, and the questions that I was asking in these interviews were questions about what sort of sexual activities do you desire, what sort of things, you know, make sex satisfying, how often is sex satisfying for you, and then I asked them a question about what sometimes made sex not so satisfying, what was like, you know, maybe not so good sometimes, and that's really what I'm presenting the findings on here today. So I did 30 individual interviews with women ages 18 to 25. They were audio recorded and transcribed and analyzed with the constant comparative method. So the question that I was asking in this case that these responses come from was thinking about a not so good sexual experience, but one that was still consensual. So nothing you were forced to do. What made it not satisfying or just not so good? This was following a question about what was your best sexual experience and what made that really great. Then I said, okay, what was one that maybe wasn't so great and what did that look like? Participants were generally around 20 years old across all years in school, mostly in a relationship or single, and the relationship length varied across the different participants. So some of these emerging themes that came up really sort of centered around a lack of desire or sort of unwantedness of this particular sexual experience, feeling pressured, and then a lot of sort of conversation around just sort of gender and sexuality and some of those power dynamics and things like that. And 18 out of the 30 participants had some sort of, quote that fell under this general theme. So the first ones, I think, sort of represent affirmative consent and, you know, the fact that sex that we consent to, you know, that there's sometimes this blurred lines between consenting to sex and certainly what would be considered affirmative consent. And so this first participant, I think, really just, you know, highlights and sort of represents a lot of what we hear about, you know, women and their sexual experiences. You know, I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't excited. It just happened. I didn't really want it to. And, you know, at the end, I wished that I had said that I didn't want to. So she didn't refuse. She didn't give affirmative consent. But at the end, she was like, yeah, I kind of wish, you know, I wish that I had said that I didn't want to. And sort of this next quote, following along with the idea of confirmative consent and needing sort of subsequent assent or consent to, you know, ongoing behaviors, you know, for this individual, she had wanted this sex. You know, she had confirmed or had consented to this sex, but was then saying that the guy, you know, was kind of being a jerk and was being forceful, and that he was not being forceful, like forcing her to have sex, but forcing her to do certain things. So during the sex, you know, he was being forceful, and that was not necessarily something that she, you know, was necessarily up for. This woman was really interested, was really interesting, and she really was talking about sex where she wanted the sex, but again, the men were just being sort of forceful and just really like pushing and not considering her experience of that sex. And so she was saying, you know, nothing was right about the situation. He was very demanding and selfish. He didn't turn me on in any of the right places. You know, so it was this pressure, this, you know, this situational context. And she said, particularly towards oral sex, like, I already got my own pace. You don't have to jab my head and bounce it like a basketball. You know, and I think that that is something, you know, like, I'm consenting to this activity, but I'm not consenting for you to do that to me. You know, so those sorts of experiences. This is from this same participant again sort of talking about, you know, where your body is telling you, like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, and you do it anyways. And you don't know why, but your body's giving you these signals that, you know, is turning you off, and you're not in the mood, but you just sort of feel forced into it. And again, she's not talking about physically being forced into it, but something about that situational context, you know, makes her feel like she's sort of obligated or forced into that sex. So the next quotes, I think, are a really nice highlight of sort of the need for affirmative sexuality, and as Dr. Jaskowski was talking about, sort of this need for women to be able to say yes when they want to and to be able to voice their, you know, wants and desires and have men not only, you know, care about their sexual experience, but also be trying to make it a positive sexual experience, you know, for them as well. So this sort of, you know, talks a little bit, or I think represents a little bit, the idea of this sort of obligation, you know, that women have sometimes, like Dr. Jaskowski was talking about, you know, where it might be for relationship maintenance, or it might be, you know, to not hurt the guy's feelings or something like that, which these I don't think are necessarily inherently negative. You know, basically she was saying, you don't really feel like working at it, like you don't really want to do it, you know, you're mostly doing it for the other person, so it's not so great when one person's more into it than the other person is. And I think this person, you know, again, really represents that, like, it was first thing in the morning, I'm tired, I'm not a morning person, like, he wanted it, so it's just sort of pity sex, you know, that he wants it, so, and I think this is probably that relationship maintenance sort of idea, you know. But then we get into some of these other quotes where this participant was saying, you know, I wasn't really ready, I was doing it just to please him. But beyond that, she's, you know, really sort of representing this idea of saying, you know, we have this perception that men are supposed to enjoy it more. So that women aren't going to do what pleases them or necessarily what they want. They're going to do what pleases the man because sex is supposed to be really great for the man and just good for the woman. And so that, I think, is really representative of, you know, women are just doing these things for men and it's not, you know, they're not getting what they need out of that sex as well. And this one, you know, I think also really represented that. She said, you know, being naked and doing it and then it being over in about 2 seconds, you kind of feel like an object. Like, I want him to do what he's got to do, but I want to be involved in it. Not just, you know, I'm horny and you're here and I don't want to use my hand, so you're going to be the person, you know, that's going to help me out with this sort of thing. You know, she wants to be an active participant in that and not, you know, women not being able to feel like they can be active participants, you know, in this. In these encounters and, you know, things like that. This one as well, I think, really sort of represented an interesting kind of catch that women sometimes get into. So this participant was talking about being out at a bar and this guy's hitting on her and she's totally not in the mood right now. She really doesn't want to have sex like that night. But she's saying, I might be in the mood in a week. So this is somebody like, maybe I would want to have sex with this guy in the future. I don't really want to tonight. But if I'm going to want to later, I'm going to have to do it now because now is when he's buying me those drinks and when he's showing interest in me. So I'm essentially going to have to consent to it tonight, even though I don't really want to tonight, because I might want to have sex with him, you know, sometime when I'm actually in the mood. So that idea that, you know, we don't have that power to negotiate kind of what, you know, what we want and when we want it, that now is the situation where he's buying me the drink, so now is the time when I have to consent if I'm gonna want to, you know, have any experience with this gentleman. So it's really interesting that when asked solely about like not so good sexual experiences, a lot of women sort of express these different situations of unwantedness or sort of lack of desire, really sort of doing it for the men, you know, not for themselves, initially consenting, but then afterwards having it become sort of forceful or sort of going in a direction that they weren't necessarily kind of up for. And then this idea that women weren't really included in the sex, that they were sort of being used as this object and they didn't feel sexual agency in that situation, you know, and a lot of these women, you know, were they're, you know, college-age women, they were actually recruited from a human sexuality class because I figured they would be more likely to be able to, you know, comfortably talk about, you know, talk to me about their sexual experiences. And so I think that a lot of these women, like, thought of themselves and wanted to represent really empowered women with good sexual agency. But even when they're, you know, kind of talking about that, they're showing this like disempowered agency where they're not really, you know, being able to, you know, to get what they need and have their needs and wants met. So this is, you know, consistent with some other research where we find women are, you know, consenting to sex that they don't necessarily want to be engaging in at that particular time. So in terms of what this means sort of on a broader scale, in terms of affirmative consent, certainly, you know, and as Dr. Jaskowski said, that's not the norm. Affirmative consent is certainly not the norm right now. And these women were certainly not, you know, not giving affirmative consent. And even after initial consent for some of these women, the experience then turned bad. And from all of sort of the stories that I heard, nobody really voiced like, oh, when that started to happen, I cut it off and I stopped. It was this continued, it wasn't what I wanted anymore, and it was not a good experience, but nobody was saying like, oh, well, once he started to do that, like, that was over. You know, I withdrew my consent. And so in terms of affirmative sexuality, I think that this really is kind of the first step or what we really need in order to make affirmative consent even, you know, even sort of possible. So women, you know, feeling this pressure or required to have sex, you know, when men want it, and women, you know, wanting to be actively involved but not being able to voice that. You know, we need to make a culture and, you know, a society and let women feel like not only should they be active participants in sex that they actually want, they should be able also to voice their desires and their wants and their needs and have those recognized and, you know, and cared about by their partner. So affirmative consent, you know, may not change some of these situations, but in conjunction with affirmative sexuality, it may improve women's experience for more enjoyable sex. And it's not enough to just talk about consenting, although that is the first step, but we also need, you know, to have a culture where these women are able, you know, to have permission to consent to sex that they want and to be able to engage in sex that is empowering and affirmative and is, you know, meeting their needs in terms of pleasure needs. So one of the follow-up questions that I had asked these participants was, what could make sex more satisfying for women? What do we need to do, you know, on a broad level to make it so that women can engage in more satisfying sex? And essentially they, you know, number one thing that they said was communicate with your partner. And so some of them said, like, people aren't mind readers, so tell them what you like, tell them what you don't like, you know, and talking to your partner is the number one thing if you want to be satisfied in sex. So I think that we're not in a place right now or in a culture right now where women are comfortable even verbally consenting, you know, affirmative consenting to sexuality, and much less sort of, you know, specifically, you know, describing their own wants and needs and, you know, sort of saying, okay, I'm going to be involved in this and this is what I want out of it as well as, you know, whatever you're wanting out of this. They also said knowledge of your own body and knowing what feels good. Some of them mentioned, you know, masturbation can help with this, where, you know, you're able to really ahead of time know what you even want, you know, so you can then communicate that with a partner. Knowing what you want in the bedroom, and equality, where a partner who actually cares about her pleasure as well. Those were all things that that they said, you know, would really improve sexual experiences for them. And I think that all of these things are embodied in, you know, an affirmative sexuality sort of culture, you know, that we're saying. And so future considerations, you know, all of these data were from heterosexual college attending women. We need to explore these dynamics in a lot of other contexts, including like cultural nuances of gender and power, you know, perhaps even beyond just the, you know, male-female, you know, dichotomy and things like that, where we really need to kind of talk about this broader than that and talk about this, you know, in with women before it's even including their partner. What do women just themselves, okay, think about yourself and what do you want and what do you, you know, what's going to feel good for you and different things like that. So yeah, that's really sort of those future kind of considerations of where to go. So again, thank you very much. Thank you for my co-author here, Dr. Jaskowski. This data was actually collected before I was at University of Arkansas, but seems to fit in very nicely with what Dr. J is doing. So again, I'm happy to answer questions at the end, and thank you for your time.